I wonder if I tore Samantha's heart out of her chest and ate it, would it kill her or just piss her off? I know I'm stalling. Sitting here in the car a block from her building, I'm sure she knows I'm coming. But this time, I doubt she wants to see me. I've stalled long enough. She knows where Giovetti is, and she'll tell me if I have to beat it out of her. There's a different guard inside the foyer this time. He tries to step in front of me, but I ignore him.
Can I help you, sir?
He puts one hand out and the other on a taser he's got clipped to his belt.
No, I'm good, thanks.
I push the button on the elevator.
Sir, I'm gonna have to ask you to leave the premises.
Or what? You're gonna shock me?
I'm making him nervous. The most he has to deal with on a regular basis are homeless men pissing in the garden. I lurch out at him, waggle my fingers.
Boo!
He shoves the taser into my throat. The electricity runs through me, but it doesn't find much to hang on to. My eyelid twitches, but that's about it. From the look on his face, I'd say the guard's more shocked than I am. I backhand him across the face, then grab his wrist. I separate his shoulder and then take the taser from him. I haul him to his feet, unconscious. We ride to the penthouse, me and this poor fucker who has no idea what he's gotten himself into. When the doors open, I toss him across the floor to Samantha's waiting feet. She glances at him, then takes a sip of her martini.
Feel better?
A little.
I heard about Newman. And I know your friend is awake.
You know what he told us.
Interesting. A couple of days ago, I wouldn't have figured you two to be an us. What's the lucky lady's name again?
I know about Imperial Enterprises. The auction, the house. I don't know how you got the stone in the first place, but that doesn't really matter, does it?
Then why are you here? Just to tell me about everything I've done?
I know you kept Carl from talking. How come? Why didn't you just kill him?
Dear God, why would I do that? I'm not cruel.
No. But she is crazy. I consider telling her about all the people Giovetti killed trying to get the stone or use it properly. But I don't think it would matter. She's too far gone for that.
It's like that joke about the two guys walking in the woods when they run into a bear. And one of them starts putting on track shoes and he says to his friend, I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you. Joe, the truth was going to come out eventually. I just needed to make sure Sandro didn't catch on until it was too late.
So what's gonna happen when Giovetti uses the rock in the Book of Fake Instructions?
It'll kill him. Slowly. The meat's going to fall from his bones. His eyes are going to ooze out of their sockets. And he's going to get to feel every excruciating moment.
Why? It's been 400 years, for Christ's sake.
She throws her martini against the wall.
Can you really be that stupid? Why do you think? He murdered me, Joe. He drove a knife in my chest and stuck me in the ground for 2 fucking weeks. And he kept murdering me. Him and every other jackal out there. Live long enough? Every horror a human being can do to another is going to happen to you.
I...
No, shut up. You don't get it. Have you any idea how many times I've been stabbed, raped, burned alive? You don't know what it's like. I was dipped in acid over the course of a month before it killed me. I've had the skin flayed from my bones. You have no fucking idea what I've been through, what he's put me through. He left me in that goddamn box for 2 goddamn weeks, and that was cake! And nothing I could ever do to him was half as bad as what he did to me. I killed him, and kept killing him, over and over again, but he kept coming back, like a fucking cockroach. He keeps coming back!
Tears start streaming down her cheeks. Should I do something? Say something? I don't know what, hugger, shooter? She doesn't give me the chance to make that decision.
So you want to know why I'm killing him? Because this time, I'm going to make it stick.
Her face is twisted with all the years of grief and horror and nightmares that she's lived through, pouring it all into her hatred of Giovetti. And just as quickly, it's gone. Sweet, beautiful Samantha again. She gives me a smile, wipes the streaks of tears from her cheeks. She crosses over to the bar, pours gin into a new glass, slams it back.
I don't give a fuck about Giovetti.
But I care about her. I shouldn't. She's the one got me here. She's bug fuck crazy, but God help me, I do. But like her, I've got other priorities.
You know what's gonna happen to me, don't you?
She nods, looks me in the eyes.
Joe, you're so sweet. And so young. And I really care about you. But there isn't anything I can do. It's over. Sandro's got the stone now. Not as quickly as I'd planned it, and with more collateral damage than I'd intended. But he's got it, and that's all that matters. I know you won't believe me, but this is true. I'm really sorry you're going to die.
No. You're gonna tell me where he is.
I draw the Glock.
If you kill me, you'll never know. I don't heal like you. For me, it's slow. I'll be dead at least a day. And by that time, Sandro will be gone, you'll be gone, and I'll be heading down to a nice little villa I have down in Cabo.
I can still hurt you.
You're not listening to me. I've been hurt before. By professionals. Men and women who knew what they were doing. And they're all dead now. All I have to do is wait it out.
I can be pretty persuasive.
I know you can. The other night I almost... Let's say I could think of worse things to do than spend a couple hundred years hanging out with you. If you'd stayed, we might not be having this conversation.
I should have figured what she was doing when she went to the bar. But when she whips the snub-nosed 38 from behind the bottle, I'm surprised.
Oh, come on. What the hell's that gonna do?
I put my hands in the air.
Go ahead, put holes in me.
I had the guard call the police while you were still downstairs. I pay him enough to remember the story, even after what you've done to him.
Getting me locked up? That's cheating.
Oh, you'll walk away from this. I have faith. Besides, as far as the police are concerned, you're a short, overweight Asian man with a mohawk. No, I just needed a little insurance so you won't walk off and try to take me with you. I can't take the chance you might convince me to tell you where Sandro is. Torture wouldn't do it, but that look on your face... Flash those eyes at me a few times and I'd tell you anything. So I didn't want to do this to you. If nothing else, please believe that.
She shoves the 38 under her chin. Her body jerks as the bullet blows through the top of her head. I run to her, grab her as she collapses. Blood pumping from a heart that hasn't figured out its job is over. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I know this is temporary. I know she'll be fine and that this is only a quick escape route. As I'm holding her, I realize she was right. I couldn't have hurt her. Hadn't realized how much she could hurt me, though. I look back to see the guard's eyes fluttering. I don't give him a chance to wake up. I kick him in the head to keep him out. I can only hope he's as professional as Samantha thinks. I don't want Santa Monica's finest looking for me. I look over to the elevator and see that it is slowly crawling up toward me, so I run to a back window overlooking the alley below. It's already open. This isn't such a bad idea, right? Maybe it won't suck as much as I think it will. Besides, it's not like I've never jumped out a window before. Just not 8 stories up. The cops trying to kick in the door make my mind up for me. After hitting a Volvo, I end up doing a face plant on the pavement. With my body temporarily beaten up, I drag myself behind a dumpster and wait a moment for me to heal back up. When my body's all healed, I give Samantha's apartment one final look. Wonder if I'll ever see her again, and what will happen when I do. Gabriella is leaning against the hotel room doorway looking in at me. She's got hangover eyes, the slouch of the terminally exhausted. I've showered, changed into a leftover set of clothes from one of her vampires.
You all right?
Me? Darius said you were gonna be out all night.
What does he know? He's just a demon. And you're avoiding the question.
Meh. I'm okay. Mostly just feeling stupid.
I fill her in on what happened at Samantha's. She makes the appropriate sympathetic noises at the right moments. She's good. Power aside, I can see why people flock to her.
You trusted her, didn't you?
Doesn't happen often. Don't think it'll happen again anytime soon.
Trust isn't so bad, you know. I trusted you. You came through for me.
Hey, you're still my best bet in all this. Besides, you'd have been fine.
She crosses the threshold and sits next to me on the bed.
No, I wouldn't have. You gave me an anchor, something to come back to. Land of the Dead's not a fun place to get stuck.
Wasn't me bringing you back.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
She slaps my thigh, stands up.
But enough of this emo bullshit. We need to find that rock.
I'm out of ideas. My only lead's leaking in the back of a morgue wagon right about now. I appreciate all this, really, but the rock's gone. Pretty soon, it'll all be over and I'll be out of your hair. Better I just go find a hole to wait it out in. Giovetti uses that thing and I'm gonna flake away like government cheese.
Jesus, you're a pussy. You're this goddamn close and you wanna give up?
You know where Giovetti's at? And I'm tapped. Better he just use the damn thing, solve all my problems. This point, I just want it over.
I don't know where he is, but I know someone who does.
I don't know why we didn't think of this sooner. Probably because neither of us wanted to pay the price. Darius is wiping down the bar with a cloth. I'm still not clear on whether any of this is real, but the drinks are good, so I guess it doesn't really matter.
I'm beginning to think it's time to renegotiate.
Oh, come on. We've got a contract.
That either of us can break at any time. And I'm feeling my cooped up of late.
I don't know why we're doing this. We've been over this before. He can't find the rock. Even if he could, he can't tell us where it is.
Don't go presupposing for me, dead man. I know things you can't even imagine.
Yeah, and it means fuck all to me right about now. Because according to Gabriella, since Samantha died, the spell keeping the stone hidden should have dissolved with her. Now, even when she comes back, anything she's done should still be gone, so you should be able to pinpoint it. Do you know where it is or not?
Of course I do. But that's privileged information. We're not betting on the ponies here. You want the whereabouts of the stone? It's going to require a special price.
What is it?
I want a night with you, sweet thing.
Darius touches her gently on the chin. His smile is all teeth. Gabriella, already a little pasty-faced, goes a shade whiter.
What about the rest of our contract? If you're renegotiating here, is that your new asking price for everything?
No. Same terms for the rest.
Not to break up a budding romance, but there's still the problem of actually telling us.
Oh, like you didn't figure it out the last time. I'll just make it easier on you.
He puts up three fingers.
Scout's honor.
Deal.
Gabriella puts out her hand.
When my next question is about the location of the rock, and you answer it, you have me for one night. Nothing rough, nothing painful. All other questions are covered by the same terms.
Whoa, I don't think so.
Gabriella puts her other hand up to stop me.
Do we have a deal then?
Darius's hand swallows hers, and he pumps it like he's pulling water from a well.
Don't worry, I'll be gentle. Now, ask away.
Where is Giovetti holding his ritual?
Darius blinks at her.
You bitch.
Okay, what just happened?
Never said I wanted to know where the stone was. My next question wasn't about the stone, and he has to follow the rules. So give, where is he?
See, this is why I like her. Reminds me of a girl I knew in Persia way back when.
He cracks his neck, then his eyes roll back in his head, really making a show of it.
He's in the junkyard.
Junkyard? What junkyard?
McKay Salvage.
Jesus. Samantha really went to town on this one. Got Giovetti the stone, got him the book, even got him a place to fuck himself in.
It's close, next to the river.
I give her a rundown on the place, how I found it.
Okay, so we head over and...
Suddenly my guts twist and fire shoots down my arms. Pain's something I've got used to not feeling, and the shock of it sends me to my knees. It passes with the same sudden shock it came with.
The hell was that?
Brownout.
Gabriella helps me to my feet.
He started.
Brownout?
The stone's tapping into the local reservoirs, drawing power. A lot of it. You have to go, now.
I'm getting that same sinking feeling I've gotten when I'm starting to rot. Only, I don't have the same hunger. I look at my hands. They're starting to sink in on themselves, going gray. Dark blotches are fading up through the skin.
Come on!
The pain staggers me, but Gabriella pulls me hard toward the door.
Another shake-up like that, and I'm not sure I can keep my door open.
What?
This place isn't a place.
Gabriella's shoving me along, and I'm having trouble keeping up.
It exists independent of the local pool, but the door doesn't. He draws on that power to keep it open to the hotel. Power drops too much, and the door to the hotel shuts. Then we're stuck.
And if it goes away completely?
The bar disappears. Oh, it's still here. But it won't look like this. The surroundings won't be quite so... pleasant.
What about you?
No, oh, I'll be fine. Go on, get!
The walls shimmer, get indistinct. We run to the door. Halfway there, my left leg goes numb. I drag it the rest of the way. Gabriella yanks the door open. The hotel lobby's on the other side, but it's flickering like a bad print of a Chaplin film.
Fuck.
That's bad.
Very. If I go through when it flickers out, I won't be coming through alive.
We're stuck?
No, just me. You're already dead.
No, you're not staying here. You can't. There's gotta be another way out of here. Darius said...
Darius is oversimplifying. No, it won't be pleasant, but it won't kill me to be here when the lights go out.
Do you know that for sure? What happens when this place goes dark?
She looks back at Darius. He's washing shot glasses, trying to be calm. He's not fooling anyone.
No, but I do know that I'll die if I go through now.
If I get Giovanni before all the power is gone...
Then the bar, the door, all of it should come back. Hopefully I'll come back with it.
I'll stop him. I'll get you out of here.
I know. I kiss you for good luck, but you're going a little green.
That happens.
I won't hold it against you. Now go before I kick you through.
There's no way to time it, so I just step through. There's a sense of hot and cold at the same time. Then my vision goes black. When I can see again, I'm through. My clothes are smoking a little. The hotel lobby's just as it was. I turn back to the door, but it's already gone. Driving to the junkyard is a challenge. I'm going fast, faster than before. The skin on my left hand has split, spilling thick blood across the steering wheel. The tendons in my left ankle snap halfway there. If my nose hadn't already shriveled into my face, I'd probably mind the smell. As it is, I can barely stand catching a hint of my reflection in the rearview mirror. Day one, I should have gotten myself embalmed. As I cut through downtown toward the river, I can see I'm not the only one hurting. There's a minor riot going on, and the cops are out in force. I can't help but think it's Gabriella's homeless vampires going apeshit. The schizophrenic normals can't be helping, and I can't tell who's who. It starts to rain about a block later. We're in the middle of a drought, nothing for 6 months, and now this. It starts as a kind of spatter that you can call rain only because it's damp and falling from the sky. But it gets worse fast. It's slow going, as months of road oil lift up, makes the streets slick. If nothing else gets on the news tonight, this will. We do rain like some people do rivers of blood. I can't think of a better sign of an LA apocalypse than water from the sky. By the time I pull up to McKay's salvage, sheets of it are pouring down onto the city. This isn't an LA rain. This is a winter in Seattle rain. I pull into the gravel lot. It's empty but for three cars. A beat-up Ford F-150, a Corolla, and a Mercedes that looks like it's just off the showroom floor. Danny's car. Interesting. I wonder if he's in the trunk. There's another wave of gut twisting. They're coming more frequently now, and the skin on my right pinky sloughs off to the bone. If I don't do something soon, there's not going to be much more of me left. I start forward, my left foot dragging behind, Glock held tight in my hand. It's getting harder to hold as I lose skin and muscle. I wend my way through stacks of dead cars, gutted engines, listening, trying to hear for a sign of Giovedi. It's tough. My right ear has gone completely deaf, and I can barely see through the rain and my tunnel vision. Everything looks like it's seen through a fisheye lens. I spin toward the noise, almost lose my balance. One hand on a fender, the other on my pistol. Giovedi's Mastiff stares at me. The thing is huge. Rain slicks off its back, pooling in its jaws. It's the size of a fucking horse. Got teeth you could shred a car with. But it's not the dog that grabs my attention.
That you, Joe?
Danny is standing next to it. Pork pie hat pushed back onto his bald head. Water soaking into his jacket. He doesn't look scared. Nervous, yeah, but not like he should with that towering dog over him. He shines a flashlight over me, his brain finally getting what his eyes are telling it. The horror on his face, thick as clown makeup.
Yeah, it's me. What are you doing here, Danny?
He should be gone, dead or skipped town. But not here with Giovedi's Mastiff acting like he's its babysitter.
He made me a deal. He's gonna...
Make you live forever? I know all about his deals. Look at me. This is what you get. Didn't figure you for stupid. Thought you'd be smart enough to run to Mexico. Giovedi on your ass and all. That story on the phone just bullshit?
No, he really did tear Bruno's face off. But he caught me outside the hospital. Told me about the stone, what it could do, what it did to you.
I spread out my arms, limp in a slow circle so we can get a good look.
Pretty cool, huh? The ladies will fucking flock to you with a look like this, eh? Come on, Danny, don't buy into that bullshit. Look at me. This is what he's offering. This is his idea of immortality.
He told me about you. What happened to you? He said he screwed things up. Figured it out this time. Told me how you stabbed him in the back and ripped him off. I helped him get the stone back. I'm gonna live forever.
Come on! Like you don't know a con when you see it. He needs you for something else. Otherwise, once he had the stone, he'd have just thrown you away.
Don't listen to him, kid.
Giovedi steps out from behind a stack of trashed cars.
Look at him. He's just bitter.
But Danny's wondering. I can see it in his eyes. He's not buying it. Narcissistic fuck. A little slow, but he's not stupid. You can almost hear the gears grinding inside his head. Giovedi notices it too. He steps up behind him, slaps a friendly hand on his shoulder.
I keep my word. You'll live forever. Ah!
He shoves a wicked-looking blade through Danny's back, punching it out through his chest. Danny lurches, tries to steady himself, grab at the blade.
Kids these days.
Giovedi yanks the blade free, wipes the blood on Danny's rain-soaked jacket. Danny slides to the ground, still alive, but probably not for long.
Not sure which one of you pisses me off more. You for being such an ass, or him for being such an idiot.
Hey, I gave him my word. He'll live forever. More or less. I mean, you know, in me.
Giovedi crouches down to Danny.
Sorry, kid. I meant to tell you. See, I'm old. Look at me. But you're nice and young. And, well, I could use some of that youth, you know? So I'll be taking yours. No hard feelings?
This won't work.
Why? Because Sam's book is bullshit?
I'm not sure if I've got enough faith left to show my surprise. But Giovedi catches it anyway.
What, you thought I didn't know about that? Come on. Bitch has been trying to kill me for half a millennium. You think I'm gonna trust her now? No, this one's gonna stick.
He starts to walk away, ignoring me like I'm just some insignificant nuisance. Yeah, well, this nuisance has a big fucking gun. Unfortunately, the bullet totally misses and hits a radiator a good 10 feet above his head.
Jesus. You just don't give up, do you? I don't have time for this crap.
He pulls the stone out of his pocket. It's throwing out a glow like it's on fire. It's hard to see Giovetti past its brilliance. I tear my eyes away from it, shift my aim. But I can't pull the trigger. My arm locks up. Giovetti plucks the gun out of my hand. With a quick slide, he dismantles it and drops it in pieces on the ground in front of me.
Doesn't it suck to have salvation just out of reach?
He turns away to leave.
Bruno, sick him.
The mastiff charges. I can't move. It grabs me in its jaws like a chew toy and tosses me into a stack of Volvos. And this time, it hurts. Giovetti watches the dog bounce me around a couple of times before he decides to leave his pet to play with its food. If he says anything, I can't hear him past the rain and the ringing in my head. Besides, I think my ears have been torn off. It would be nice if I could pass out, but the best I can hope for is the dog finally crunches on my skull and makes it all stop. I come crashing down into the open top of a car compactor, the one I dropped the guards into the other night. Without thinking, I twitch my remaining hand and grab the ledge before falling in. It barely holds, but it does. Whatever Giovetti did to me is wearing off. I can sort of jerk my body up, grab the ledge, inch my way up with numb fingers. I feel like I'm full of Novocaine for all the control I've got, but with some creative twitching, I get myself up and over the lip. Not that it helps much. I'm lying on a thin ledge of machinery, the ground 15 feet below me on one side, the yawning gap of the compactor on the other. I'd opt for the ground, but the mastiff below me doesn't make that a particularly attractive option. There's a blur of black as it leaps to a high ledge to look down on it. It stands on a teetering tower of Detroit's finest. One jump and a quick snap of its jaws, and it should be over, if I'm lucky. But I'm not done just yet. It springs from its high perch, and with what little coordination I've got left, I roll myself off the ledge to the gravel below. The mastiff hits the compactor. It tries to scramble out, but there's not much for it to grab. Enough time, and it will probably find a way. Better I not give it any. Drag myself over to the controls, strength slowly returning to my shattered limbs. Just like what I did the other night, only with more meat. I shove my whole weight against the on button. I pull myself away, a trail of meat and shattered bone behind me, losing more and more of myself at every inch. I can't remember where my legs went. Seconds crawl by. Feels like hours, days, I can't tell. Every second's turned into a meaningless eternity. They pile up on each other. By now, I'm mostly bone held together by gristle. I'm missing an arm, both legs, most of my face, but I'm not gone. Through rotting holes, I can see the tendons in the hand I have left. I can feel the stone nearby, like that one girl you knew you'd give everything for. As soon as she walked into the room, you knew it. The one you swore you'd crawl on your hands and knees over broken glass for. So I crawl. It takes 1,000 forevers. Every foot is a mile. The halls of burned out husks and crushed junkers opens into a field of twisted metal. Cars piled high like trees. Danny hangs upside down, strung from the fender of a Studebaker. One leg suspended, the other crossed over behind it like an inverted four. I think he's still alive, but he won't be for long. I watch, fascinated. Danny gets older by the second. Fingernails grow long, skin warps and wrinkles. He curls in on himself as his spine shrinks. Every second of its youth is draining away. Giovetti lies underneath him on the roof of a desiccated Volvo, spread-eagled. What's left of Danny's blood drips down onto him, onto the stone resting on his forehead. And with every drop, Giovetti is getting younger. The stone's brilliance catches me for a moment. I can take it. Just crawl up and it's mine. Let it heal me. Take me away from this horror show I've turned into.
I start to lurch forward, catch myself in a lucid moment that's becoming less frequent as the seconds tick by. If I take it, Chiavetti will just come back for it, and I'm back at square one. I'm nothing but sticks held together by bits of gristle now. I've left a trail of intestines and blood across the gravel like some demon slug. Skin nothing but shredded paste. My mind is unraveling like a cheap sweater. I remember what Darius said about killing Chiavetti. Maybe taking the stone just won't be enough. I pull a chunk of twisted metal from the ground. It's long and sharp and makes a perfect shiv. I crawl onto the Volvo, looking at Danny hanging there. A slice in his throat like a new bloody mouth stares at me, face slick with rain and his own draining blood. We look at each other. I can see a plea to kill him in his eyes. In a minute, Danny. I got priorities. I climb over Giovetti, press the shiv against his throat. I'd say something witty, but my tongue fell off a while ago. I ram the shiv through him as I pull the stone off his forehead. The effect is immediate. The stone flashes bright and purple, and I can feel my skin fill in. New bones grow, muscles wrap themselves together like cables. My rotted flesh sloughs off to be washed away by the rain. I stab and keep stabbing, slicing jagged holes through him. He reaches up to ward me off, but as I get stronger, he gets weaker. Finally, I bring the shiv down into his chest, tear through his sternum. My hands dig into the hole, make it wider. I yank flesh and bone aside. I bend my face down to the shredded hole in his chest, and I lose myself in the feast. I roll over in a pool of dripping gore, stare at the sun burning in a crystal blue sky. Most beautiful sunrise I've ever seen. The stone is heavy in my hand, pulsing. I don't know how long I've been out. Long enough for everything to grow back. Legs, hand. I check the inside of my mouth. Yep, even tongue. I take an experimental breath, pull air into my lungs, waiting for that rush to tell me everything's fine, that this was all some kind of bad dream. But it's just like inflating a balloon. I'm still dead. I pull myself up. My clothes are shredded rags, my pants in particular. Parts of me are covered in thick slime, a holdover, it seems, from my rotting spell the night before. I stink like a slaughterhouse in summer. Where Giovetti should be, splayed out on the roof of the Volvo beneath me, there are just bones and scraps of meat. And I thought I went to town on Newman. There's hardly anything left. But it still might be enough. I gather the bones and put them into an empty oil drum, pour gasoline over them, light them on fire, let them cook. 30 minutes later, I'm dressed in some old overalls I found in the junkyard office. I have Danny's car parked far in the back, his plates pulled off. Nobody'll find it. No one will come looking. I've also put Danny and Giovetti's charred bones into the car compactor, and a couple of 100 pounds of scrap on top of it. I ground them into paste. If that doesn't keep Giovetti dead, I don't know what will. The drive to downtown is short. No one's on the road. It's 9 in the morning and the freeway should be packed. Something monumental happened last night, and it's almost as though the city knows it. The storm's passed. It's a fragile feeling. If you look at it too hard, it'll pop like a soap bubble. I wonder how many people actually felt it, or even knew what it was. I pull off the freeway and have to double back through the side streets to get to the hotel. The police have set up a web work of crime scene tape, official-looking sawhorses. The radio paints a scene of intense, if short-lived, insanity last night. The official body count's still coming in, but it seems there were riots from Pasadena to San Pedro. Looting, arson, murder, the usual.
There's a story about some guys in gorilla suits running rampant through Griffith Park and killing the horses at the equestrian center. Another of a mob of homeless in Santa Monica killing half a dozen people on the promenade and trying to eat them. And then, it all just stopped. Not sure how I feel about that. Am I the one that did it? Did I save the day? I decide I'm not the hero type and I turn off the radio. At Gabriella's hotel, the bar is back. The red leather door in the wall just as out of place as it was before.
Welcome back, dead man.
Darius has got what looks like a tall Bloody Mary sitting on the bar in front of him. A lone celery stalk in a glass.
Slew the dragon, save the fair maiden. You deserve a celebratory drink.
What is it? It doesn't smell quite like a Bloody Mary.
Mostly V8, some Tabasco, some pepper. Other stuff.
That's what worries me.
This is a gift. Gabriella managed to secure a line of hearts from a boy down at USC Medical. She had hoped to get it to you earlier, but the boy couldn't deliver until today. So drink up. It'll cure what ails you.
Where is she anyway?
Out tending to her flock. Lots of folks hurting out there this morning, like suffering from the mother of all hangovers. She's making sure things are okay. So, what do you say? Partake in the kindness of the Bruja?
No, I didn't keep my end of the bargain. She only owes me this if I deliver the stone. I haven't delivered the stone.
You know bargains are funny things. You have to look at the wording. For example, she offered to find a way to keep you from rotting that didn't involve eating human hearts.
Darius points to the drink.
That, my friend, is made out of human hearts. She didn't keep her end of the bargain either. Of course, it's not like you need it.
He reaches over and taps me on the chest with a wink. I learned the hard way that a safe isn't very safe. Before I left the junkyard, I tore a hole into my own chest with a chunk of metal and shoved the stone up behind my sternum. It's sitting there, nice and comfortable, and I felt better with it there than I felt the entire time I've been dead. Maybe you and I ought to talk about this.
Maybe we should. You know, that thing there is not exactly hidden, but at the same time, only some of us can actually see it. So, I have a proposition for you. Interested?
I'm all ears.
I don't talk about your inside jewelry, but one of these days, I just might want to. And when that day comes, well, the only thing that'll keep my fool mouth shut is an incentive. Like maybe a favor. Are you following me, dead man?
I'm following you. You say nothing, tell no one, don't even hint that it's there, ever, and you get one favor. That about the gist of it?
Oh, that's it exactly. Do we have a deal?
Darius puts out his meaty paw. What's the big deal? Really? I don't want anyone knowing I've got this thing on me. Not even Gabriella. It'd just cause problems I don't need. And I do a job for Darius. I do jobs all the time. Deal. We shake on it, and that seals it.
You might want to drink the drink anyway. Looks less conspicuous that way. And I wouldn't want to tell our young miss that you didn't. She might get suspicious.
Good point. I down the drink. It's not bad. Darius hands me a napkin.
You got a blood mustache?
I wipe my face.
Thanks. I think.
Friendly advice. Get to know your new people.
My people?
You know who I'm talking about. This here's a community, like it or not. It's bloodier than most, but nothing you shouldn't be able to handle. Things are different now. You got yourself some breathing room. Take in this brand new world. See what you can do with it.
What's this friendly advice gonna cost me?
Friendly means free. Take it when it's offered. Doesn't happen often. Besides, I've taken a shine to you, dead man. I'd like to see you around. And Gabriella could use a hand. coked-up vampires and sketchy gangbangers don't make for the most stable support system for a young lady.
Maybe he's right. I've jumped down the rabbit hole, and for the moment at least, Wonderland's not trying to kill me. Best I get the hang of it before it gets me.
What about you? You work for her. What does she need me for?
Oh, you don't get how this works, do you? No, no, no. I work for myself. I'm here because I like it here. It's nice and cozy. And the Brujah's not the only game in town. No, I have my iron in a lot of fires. Never know which way the day will take you.
He reaches under the bar, pulls out a small envelope. My name is written on the front in a flowing script that looks disturbingly familiar.
Speaking of which, this is from a mutual acquaintance.
He slides the envelope over to me. I open it and pull out a note.
I couldn't have done it without you. Love, Sam.
I stare at the note. There's a faint scent of perfume on it. Same scent she was wearing last night when she shot herself.
When did you get this?
Oh, when is such a subjective idea? Why be so linear about things?
Okay, how did you get this?
I thought I had it all figured out. Samantha dead, Giovetti gone. Now I don't know who's playing who. Darius slides the scotch neat in front of me.
Have another drink, dead man. Enjoy it. You've earned it.
City of the Lost is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 2012, Stephen Blackmore. Published by arrangement with DAW Books Incorporated. All rights reserved. Production copyright 2015, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication is prohibited. Performed by Michael John Casey, Nora Ashrati, Jacob Yeh, Colleen Delaney, Terrence Aselford, James Lewis, Matthew Bassett, Bradley Smith, James Konacek, Evan Casey, Michael Glenn, Drew Kopas, David Coyne, Rebecca Shear, David Harris, Jonathan Church, Gabriela Fernandez Coffey, Scott McCormick, Casey Platt, and Kimberly Gilbert. Directed by Michael John Casey. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Patrick Stratton. Book adapted for graphic audio by Nathaniel Perry. If you enjoyed City of the Lost, be sure to look for Stephen Blackmore's Eric Carter No. 1, Dead Things. Necromancer is such an ugly word, but it's a title Eric Carter is stuck with. He's turned it into a lucrative career, putting troublesome spirits to rest, sometimes taking on even more dangerous things. For a fee, of course. When he left L.A. 15 years ago, he thought he'd never go back. Too many bad memories. But now his sister's been brutally murdered, and Carter wants to find out why. Was it the gangster looking to settle a score? The ghost of a mage he killed the night he left town? Each step seems to lead to a dead end. On top of all this, the patron saint of violent death herself, Santa Muerte, has taken an unusually keen interest in him. Carter's going to find out who killed his sister, and he's going to make them pay. As long as they don't kill him first. Eric Carter No. 1, Dead Things. Coming soon to Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloadable extras, audio guides, and podcasts.
Graphic Audio presents The Montauk Monster.
Police? Yeah, look, I want to report a couple dead bodies on the beach at Shadmore State Park. Yeah, two bodies. They're dead. They're all messed up. No, I don't know how. No, ma'am, I'd rather remain anonymous. No bye.
When the lights came on, were you able to see the dogs?
Not really. I'm telling you, they zipped back down my alleyway faster than I thought a dog could run.
You didn't catch anything, like an approximate size, color, if they had long or short hair?
I think they were short-haired dogs, because I would have seen a lot of hair, you know? It happened so fast, I couldn't tell much. I just know this. These dogs weren't afraid of me one bit. I didn't surprise them, I pissed them off. If you find them, you better be real careful.
Best guess, Anita. What are we dealing with?
Off the record?
Completely.
Everything I see, it looks like some kind of hybrid. They may give the base appearance of dogs, but in essence, they're not. It's like someone raised generations of different breeds, selecting the largest, strongest, and most violent to create the next gen until they ended up with a monster. Think of a pit bull dosed with gamma rays.
Did you just say these are Hulk pit bulls?
Dispatch, this is 111. I have a downed Montauk PD officer, Norman Henderson, in pursuit.
111, are you requesting an ambulance?
Yes, I don't know. Something took him. Send everyone you have out here, now!
We must be in a dead zone. Sorley, I need you to link me into the CDC.
Sorry, I have strict orders that nothing goes out of this area, including phone calls. All of Montauk, and now over to the Hamptons, is on total lockdown. Internet communications have been severed as well. We have to contain this, and that means doing so without causing widespread panic.
What gives you the right or even the authority to do that?
Who do you think? This is the mother of all snafus. You don't think the powers that be will let this run on the 11 o'clock news or become a cyber on the Drudge Report, do you? Everything stops here. I give you everything we have. Plum Island is about to be blown off the map just minutes from now. You don't have weeks or even days. Let's start with ours and see where that takes us.
Now what?
Now you get in the water and swim for it while I hold them off.
We're not leaving you behind.
Yeah, I'm done. If I got in that water, I'd sink like a stone, dragging anyone with me. I just hope that death by killer animal is covered by my insurance policy. I'd like to leave something for my ex-wife. We're always better apart than together.
Jake, no, we'll keep you afloat.
You'll do no such thing. Go! Go!
Available now in graphic audio.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net. where you can select from over 900 titles and 60 series in either CD or high-quality download formats. If you would like to listen to an entire series, you can conveniently purchase the whole sets on CD or USB flash drive from graphicaudio.net. At graphicaudio.net, you can now earn loyalty rewards points, redeemable toward future online purchases. You can also get full mobile downloads directly to your phone or tablet with our new Graphic Audio Access app, available on all Android and Apple devices, so you can listen on the go, anytime, anywhere. Call 1-800-670-5220 or visit www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our email newsletter, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter.